Yeah, she's not my biggest fan. Cannot count her as one of my bigger fans, that's for sure.
Oh, she doesn't listen to the podcast every week, is that what you're saying?
I don't think she's a devoted listener, no.
Oh, that's a shame.
Hasn't left the review on iTunes. You know. Not an amigo.
Yeah, I was about to say, not on Patreon.
Not part of the Patreon gang, no. So, hopefully she will not offer or, you know, incur any interruptions during the recording of the show.
Yes, though we would appreciate input.
Sure. I make some kind of point about, you know, Zhao Felix, and she's like, rawr,
or yeah, exactly.
Hisses at me.
We can determine whether that's approval or not.
I think this result meant nothing. Rawr.
Yeah, exactly. You're damn wrong.
but yeah, let's turn to that result now. That's what we're going to spend most of the pod talking about. As called it, a result that sent global shockwaves, Rob. I'm not lying.
Yeah.
Historic is a term bandied about too often by sports journalists, but Atleti's 7-3 thrashing of Madrid was truly that. It's the first time Atleti have scored 7 or more goals in a friendly in nearly 40 years. It's a lot of things.
Now that is actually impressive.
Yeah. Considering there were entire preseasons where Atletico didn't score 7 goals, that is impressive.
A sign of things to come, maybe?
Well, that's part of the purpose of this show, Rob, is that should we be getting ahead of ourselves? Should we be getting a little carried away? Are we entitled?
I mean, I think the first and foremost, it's just funny. To beat the bejesus out of Madrid like this is just funny. And, I mean, you can read into it as much or as little as you want. I would sort of err on the side of less. But even still, it was extremely enjoyable.
It was cathartic. It was just crazy. I couldn't even – it was preseason, and I couldn't really quite believe what was happening. There were quite a few double takes I had to do that were like, oh, wow, okay, they got the first goal inside 40 seconds. Okay, Zhao Felix has made it 2. Oh, now it's 3. Oh, it's 4 now. And it was 5-0 at halftime. It was
5-0 at halftime.
It was 6-0 inside 51 minutes. It was 7-1 on 70 minutes. There was a lot going on. It was a lot to take in.
Yeah, there's a lot that happened.
I think just from a standpoint of excitement and thrills, regardless of what point of the season it's in, I think this ranks up there with you know, in terms of just thrilling fan experiences.
Well, and it seemed like there was a good number of Atleti fans at MetLife Stadium in New York City, or yep. New Jersey, depending on how you want to look at that. But, yeah, you know, it was very exciting. I mean, worth it. I mean, these International Champions Cup games are a little questionable because they're pretty expensive, but they got what they paid for this one.
Oh, yeah. The Madrid fans, maybe not so much, but the Atletico fans, definitely. If I'm a Madrid fan, I'm not particularly pleased with someone like Sergio Ramos coming out and saying this was just a friendly for us. Like,
right.
Yeah. No, I spent a lot of money on tickets and, you know, airfare and finding an Airbnb or whatever. I spent a lot of money to get this together, and you go out there and you fall behind 6-0 and you lose 7-3. Like, I'm not very happy about that if I'm a Madrid fan.
And yeah, what was his, the Volko was like, they were retreated it as a friendly and they didn't. It's like, I mean, he's right. It was just a friendly, but at the same time, it's against Atleti and you got smoked. So. Yeah.
It's against Atleti and it's, you know, that they're going to take it seriously. It's a derby. Of course, both teams should be taking it seriously.
Yeah, even if it is preseason.
Yeah, it's still a Madrid derby. So. Yeah, it was, I think, regardless of what the result means going forward, I think just the experience in itself, the experience in a vacuum was just, that was exciting. That was something else. I couldn't quite believe what was going on. What stood out to you, Rob? We'll talk about whether what all this means in a moment, but in terms of like what actually stood out to you during the match, what did you notice? What did you love? Was there anything at all you did not love?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing we have to talk about is Zhao Felix.
Oh, yeah.
Because what a performance in a preseason match. I mean, the first preseason match was kind of a warm-up sort of deal. And this one, I mean, this was a big stage, and man, he looked incredible.
He's good, isn't he?
Yeah, he's all right. He is all right. He showed off all the things that we've heard about him and seen in highlights and whatnot. You saw the passing for the assist in the second half, and you saw the finishing and the first touch. He's oozing with quality. You can see why they were convinced to pay this big of a fee for him.
And he showed all that literally in the first half.
Yeah.
I wrote about this in my three thoughts column afterward, that he just kind of got to do whatever he wanted. A lot of freedom. And he essentially played that second striker role, kind of roaming in the pockets of space behind a big number nine, in this case, Diego Costa. Just kind of got to do whatever. Ping passes around so smoothly. Okay, that was the cat doing something. We're just going to ignore
her. There you go.
She was smacking at her food bags if I hadn't fed her already today.
Hey, idiot, come feed me.
I already did. I fed her when I woke up. Just getting greedy.
And can confirm, Joao Felix came off on 66 minutes. So yeah, right after
the record. Okay. Yeah, in those 66 minutes, though, he did kind of as advertised. And especially after Morata went off with his injury, that's when he really started to shine. I think, as we'll come to, the Costa-Morata pairing, just I don't think that's going to work. I think that's just going to be too rigid. But Costa and Joao Felix together, that seems to be, if this first half into the second half was any indication, it could be pretty devastating.
Well, and I guess in theory, Joao Felix and Morata as well would work. But yeah, I agree with you. Morata and Costa, I think we saw a little bit last year. It's just a little too static of a front line.
Yeah.
But I think the other thing sort of different that differentiates Joao Felix from Griezmann and is we saw on a couple of occasions he was able to use his size and his height in a way that Griezmann never was able to. Because let's face it, Atleti like to play a lot of long balls. So having a second striker that is capable of holding the ball up but is also more mobile than a Morata or Costa is certainly an advantage.
Yeah, definitely. And that's how Joao Felix got his second assist, actually, when he kind of brought down a long ball from Hermoso and then slid it through to Costa to chip past Keylor Navas. That was
an absolutely beautiful pass.
That was the sixth goal and his second assist.
Yes.
Joao Felix's goal was also really nicely taken. Did a really good job hunting out space around 6-7 yards out and just kind of poked home a sour cross.
Yeah, he was fantastic in this match. I mean, it's interesting that we lead off with not the guy that scored four goals, but I think his performance was probably more impressive, and he's the new guy. So
yeah, with the transfer fee and his age and the expectations and the hype, he was great, and he showed quite a bit of flair in his time on the pitch. And Madrid obviously weren't at anywhere near their peak, so they kind of did him some favors by being so loose and elastic everywhere. But he looked great, and he took advantage of everything that was given to him.
It is terrible that Hazard wears the number 50.
Isn't it?
That's gross, man.
I was going to say that.
That is terrible. I mean, what's going on there? He looks like a youth player out there.
Yeah, he's playing like one, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Pew! Yeah, but I'm going to be interested to see how that works out because, I mean, obviously there's expectations that he'll have a Ronaldo-esque impact, but he's not the same kind of player. So that's an interesting team, and let's hope they continue to be as incompetent as they were last season.
We can only hope, Rob.
We can only hope.
Really, we can only hope. You mentioned the man who scored four goals. That would be Diego Costa. And he scored almost as many goals in this preseason game as he scored in the entirety of last season.
Yeah. He likes to play against them.
Yes. And he has scored big goals against them in the past as well.
Yeah.
But Costa,
but it also wouldn't have been a Costa performance without the other thing.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been, not without the red card. Oh.
He loves red.
He does. He saw red for sure. And you know what? This one was justified. Unlike what happened against Barcelona in April when he just, you know, badmouthed the referee until he got sent off. This one was a little more justified. Danny Carvajal came in and tried to, you know, swipe off half of Thomas Lemar's leg. That was a really nasty challenge, and Costa came in and stuck up for his teammate.
Yep, which you have to like to see. I mean, it was, as you say, a nasty challenge by Carvajal, who at that point was probably quite frustrated at being 6-0 down.
Yeah.
So, or whatever it was at that point. But yeah, it was a nasty challenge.
It was, that's uncalled for. And Sergio Ramos can say this is a friendly, and it doesn't mean, and Zidane can say the same thing, that this is a friendly, this doesn't mean much. When you are going after Thomas Lemar like Carvajal did, that kind of speaks to a certain contradiction. Someone was taking this seriously enough to where, instead of going down, you know, it was 6-1 at the time, I think. Yeah, it was just after Nacho scored. One approach to that is just saying, that's fine. We'll just jog around, get some cardio, and get our steps in for another half an hour. Or you can do what Carvajal did and just lash out. Did this mean something to you, or did it not? Someone has to play the party line here.
Right. And I mean, credit to Diego Simeone. For once, he was the calmest person in one of these situations and did well to sort of calm things down a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
So that could have gotten out of hand.
It almost did.
It really almost did. And it could have been ugly.
It definitely almost did. And we say that a lot of things happened in this game. A lot of things did happen in this game. It was amazing because the red card came with the scoreline already at 6-1, as we mentioned, as if things could not have popped off any more than they did. You have the red card and the brawl that gets Carvajal and Costa sent off. Then you have three more goals. Just craziness, craziness all around. But bringing it back to Costa, he showed a... Saul said that Costa is going to be like a new signing if he's fit and firing. And I agree with him. Costa wasn't healthy almost the entirety of last season. Starting in August, moving up to his foot surgery in November. He came back in February. Clearly still was not up to snuff. Got himself suspended against Juventus. And then after that, it was just, you know, the suspension. The red card against Barcelona. So his season never really took off after the Super Cup. And this year, though, based on this form, based on this performance, if Atletico get this Costa every 3 weeks during the season, that changes everything.
Yeah, I mean, that is the thing with Costa. Going into the season, you knew that he was, like, there's the possibility that it could be absolutely terrible or that he could rediscover some of his old form. And one of the, I can't remember which of the goals it was, but one of them was just a spectacular finish. I think it was his second goal. That just looked like classic Diego Costa, just firmly striking the ball into the box, as we know he can. But, man, yeah, if Diego Costa's good this coming season, it changes the game.
That first goal he scored was almost a carbon copy of the goal in the Super Cup last year.
Yeah.
Just rampaging down the right-hand side, taking that shot from a tough angle. It got the deflection off Ramos, which helped it kind of nestle in behind Courtois. And he scored a penalty as well.
It's very encouraging. Of course, we did kind of feel the same way last year after the Super Cup.
Yeah, we did. And we need to keep in mind that Costa is not any younger. He's going on 31 years old this year. And he had a significant foot injury last year. He's had hamstring problems forever, it seems.
Yep.
So take this with some salt, but if
he's going to need running repairs, probably,
and that's part of why Alvaro Morata is here, to give him really good competition.
Yeah, definitely. And at the same time, you could also imagine sort of like the Costa Villa or even the Falcao Costa combination. Those two pairings are different types of player, which would sort of make you think Costa and João Félix or Morata and João Félix would be the better or more balanced combination.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens, but we'll see how that develops and sort of where João Félix is going to be deployed. Because like you said, he had a pretty free role throughout the match, which is good. That's a good sign. We don't want João Félix being forced to, you know, be stuck on the wing for much of the season.
With a player of his kind of potential and his kind of already obvious talent, you kind of just need to let him do whatever he does and you build the team around it.
Right.
And Simeone has some experience with that, considering he coached Griezmann for the past 5 years. And for a lot of that time, Griezmann was the focal point of the team, playing two or three different positions at once.
Yeah, I think so. And I think a lot's going to depend on the midfield that's behind the strikers, whoever they end up being. because there's a lot more options now.
Yeah, the midfield, that's a good transition. The midfield was very good. Saul was playing in a very advanced role, got two assists. The first assist on João Félix's goal, just a lot of hard work and determination to win the ball back, kind of bulldoze his way into the box and then fling a cross back across the box. The defense, well, before I do that, though, I do have to say this. We've only seen Marcos Llorente play for like 100 minutes in the preseason. I think he's done more running in three games than Rodri did all last season.
Yeah, yeah, he does run a little bit better than Rodri.
And that's not a criticism of Rodri. That's just a fact.
And it's just not his strength.
Right.
Marcos Llorente.
Yes.
He looked very smooth on the ball. I mean, obviously Rodri is an excellent passer, but Llorente looked like more confident on the ball and moving it through the midfield than Rodri ever was. So, you know, there will be differences between them, but I think he's a pretty solid replacement in that way, in that he's young. And then, of course, you have the old man Hector Herrera. I mean, he's not that old, but he's quite experienced.
Yeah, he's the oldest member of this midfield.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, he's, what, 29, something like that, so he's not ancient by any means, but he's played in a lot of matches and a ton of big matches for Mexico, so I think that will be end up being a very solid addition.
Yeah, I could see him becoming kind of a leader in this midfield as the season wears on. Koke, of course, is wearing the captain's band now, which, when you've been following this team for so long, and you've seen Koke grow up like the way he has.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a bunch about sort of his development and how it really hasn't been a linear thing or really hasn't gone the way that a lot of people thought it would. But he has matured in this team, and sort of as the older guys leave, he has stepped up into that role. So, and we never sort of saw him as being the most ultra vocal player in the universe, but now he has that role. So, and he looks like he understands that. People thought he was just going to be a pure attacking midfielder when he was racking up all those assists in 2013-14, but his game has just really evolved in strange ways, and he has had a couple down seasons, but the point remains he's played a ton of matches, regardless of if he was playing well or not.
Yes, yeah, so you wrote about that very topic this week, Rob. The piece went out just this morning on Koke's quest to break Atleti's appearances record.
Yes.
It's a very good piece. Highly recommend that you read it.
Thank you.
And he's, what now, 415? Yeah, 415. He's going to get there.
Yeah, one would think.
He's going to get there.
It's like I said in the article, it's a question of when, not if, I think.
In this preseason, I think, is a good breeding ground for what kind of leadership we're going to expect, what kind of leadership we can see out of Koke. And midfield looked very well organized, particularly in that first half. I think the only chance that Atleti really gave away was the Vinicius shot off the post, and that was when it was 4-0 already, I think. Atleti were already up by a sizable margin when that happened. Midfield looked good, dropped deep when required to aid the defense. The defense looked, this was something that was interesting to me, is that how organized is this defense going to be with everyone coming in? Everyone's so green and new and younger. Looked pretty good to me. The defense looked very organized, and someone like Renan Lodi, who had a very big test in taking on Vinicius, he passed that test. He's not a player known for his defensive abilities, but he definitely held his own. Kieran Trippier was fine. Savic and Hermoso were fine.
Yeah, Oblak, great, I think. And I was, you know, pleasantly surprised by Trippier. I thought he had some nice moments going forward. That was funny that he was the first guy to jump into Diego Costa's arms after the first goal.
Yes.
That was funny.
Yes, he was.
And a little weird, but, you know, nice. I agree with you about Lodi. I thought he did well. So I'm interested to see how the fullbacks work, because this is a whole new look, these two.
Yeah, Lodi stood out to me just because his general activity level. He was always busy. His crossing also looked very tasty. And we talked about this on an earlier pod, that Lodi and Trippier haven't been brought in so much because they're shut down defensive fullbacks. They have been brought in because they both do this one thing really, really well. They can cross the ball. They burst forward. They can cross the ball. Trippier can take set pieces too. And with Lodi, you don't worry so much about his defensive development at his age and where he's come from. You can work on that. When you have a player who can be as busy and active and cross the ball like he can. That was what Atleti needed, fullback.
And it sort of strikes me, like what you say about his work rate, is that he's going to be the kind of player that Diego Simeone really likes. Works really hard, and I mean, if, like you say, the defensive stuff will come along. He's really young, and he has, well, if the best defensive manager in Europe to coach him up a little bit, so he'll be all right. Trippier, I think, kind of is what he is, but Santi Arias is also there, so that's a little bit more secure of a position.
Yeah, that's going to be a healthy, as we've talked about, a healthy competition between those two. Lodi just absolutely destroyed Odrizola in this match. Just Atleti picked on him relentlessly.
Yeah, which is interesting because, you know, he did all right last year. So, yeah, I'd like to see that. More attacking fullbacks is not a bad thing, especially ones that can still run pretty well. That's been a pleasant change.
Yeah, no kidding. Anyone that can just, like, sprint beyond the halfway line.
Yes. I'll take it. Exactly. I also liked seeing Oblak with the captain's armband on. Gotta love that.
Yep. That's probably your second or third captain.
I definitely. For me, absolutely. Him or Saul, I'd say, for the second captain. I guess Costa, perhaps, but...
Probably Koke, Saul, Oblak in some order.
Yeah.
Are your three captains. You would think. Jimenez could be a decent shout, too.
Yeah, true. That's true.
I want to talk about two more players, and then we're going to preview this MLS All-Star business.
Okay.
Yes, get excited. Because I know you're an ardent MLS follower. I am not.
Oh, God.
I am not quite as ardent.
Yeah.
I am not quite as ardent as you are.
I talk a lot of junk about MLS. I only watch my team.
Can't wait.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So Vitolo, Rob, has looked quite good in this preseason so far. Scored a brilliant goal.
Yeah.
Brilliant goal. Atleti's seventh. Picked it up in his own half, went on this mazy run, nearly the length of the pitch, really, and a really expert finish beyond the reach of Navas. Kind of sums up his preseason. He's looked very, very good. He looks fit. He looks strong. He looks like he's up to speed. His adjustment period took a while. Add the injuries to that, and you have a player who, while not useless in his first season and a half in Madrid, never was close to finding a consistent role. Now he might have one. Add on top of that the possibility that Angel Correa is going to leave in the next week or so, potentially a very important season for Vitolo coming up.
Absolutely. It's going to be a huge season for him, I think. If it doesn't work out this year, it's almost nailed on he will leave. But like you say, if Correa goes, that is a ton more playing time potentially for him. I mean, the right midfield starting position could be his early in the season, I think. Because we know Simeone loves him. It's just he has to get into a nice little run of form.
He's got to stay healthy. That's just been killing him is the injury. He came over from Las Palmas injured. He got injured after the Super Cup last season. It kept him out till, I think, November. And, yeah, by the time he really could pick up his form, Atleti were out of all the competitions. He wasn't counted on as an essential piece when Atleti were challenging for the Champions League and, you know, less prominently La Liga. But this year is different. This year there are opportunities up for grabs because everything is so new and everything is so different and everything's been kind of turned on its head in terms of player recruitment and the money spent, etc. Correa has had a very good preseason too. Scored a nice goal in this game from a Koke assist. A play that Trippier kept alive. Koke did a nice little step over to deliver a quick ball to Correa. He's had a very
good... Shop window!
Exactly. That's what I was going to say, is that this is as good a display as you can hope for from Correa. Atleti had decided to sell him. That hasn't changed. Doesn't seem like Simeone has offered much resistance to it. Especially with the possibility that he could bring in James as his replacement. I know how you feel about that, so we're not going to talk about it. But yeah, this can't hurt Correa's transfer value. The rumor is that he's going to go to Milan for around $50 million.
Which is unbelievable, by the way.
Yeah, performances like this, hey, you know, pay us, give us $70
million. No, God, no, take the 50 and run quickly before they change their minds.
Give us $80
million. I that is... a lot of money for Angel Correa.
But these are shop window displays. For
yeah,
sure.
Big time. But I mean, it's huge that he's putting in these performances now, because it's not like he's been cast to the reserves or something, or that there's some kind of transfer saga going on. His value is, though he was terrible last season, his value isn't diminished in that way.
Right. Because you look at Correa, it's, I wouldn't say obvious, but it is understandable why he is attracted to a lot of teams. Young, versatile, pacey, experience in the Champions League, experience at international level. And he's only 24 going on 25. It's understandable why a lot of teams would be interested in him, and why some teams would be willing to pay a lot of money for him, even if we don't see it.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, and Milan's an interesting team right now, to say the least. Banned from the Europa League for doing weird financial stuff. So,
yeah,
you know, maybe they don't really know what they're doing, but that's okay.
They're having a good time.
Yeah. They're an interesting club, but yeah, I think sell Correa as soon as he can.
And it still looks like that is on course to happen. Now, it's not unreasonable to believe that this result complicates Atleti's James chase. As we know, Atleti are very interested in signing James Rodriguez. Atleti's chief, Miguel Angel Gilmedin, was interviewed last week and confirmed as much, saying that the decision rested with Florentino Perez. Well, Florentino Perez may not want to sell James to a direct rival after a result like this. Would not shock me. So James is kind of still up in the air. There was a report on Friday that Madrid actually wanted to keep him for the upcoming season, which seems very unlikely to me, because their net spend is around negative 200 million euros this summer, and they need to sell.
Yes, and they also probably want to sign some more players. So James is the most obvious one to go out the door, especially considering his contract situation. So it probably is a negotiating ploy, you would think. But, I mean, I guess it's not off the table that they could retain him for this coming season.
I suppose it's not, but Zidane has been pretty consistent in that he doesn't want him around. He doesn't like him that much as a player. Zidane is very, very picky.
Yeah, he is. He is. I mean, he was Carlo Ancelotti's guy, basically, and he got sacked pretty quickly into that experiment, so.
And to a lesser degree, Bale was also Ancelotti's guy.
Right. Yeah, so they're having some problems, because I don't know what's really going on there, because the Bale thing is sort of, seems like it's hit a standstill.
Yeah, that was supposed to go through this week, and Madrid have suddenly put the brakes on it because they want a transfer fee. Yeah, it's a mess.
Yeah, but we like to see that. We're happy about this.
Yeah, in a
even
sick,
if it means we don't get James, don't care.
In a sick way, yes. Okay, let us move on now to discussing Atletico's next preseason match. It is in Orlando, Florida, Rob, against a selection of Major League Soccer All-Stars. That is taking place on Wednesday. And, Rob, you are the resident MLS expert here.
Oh, God, am I?
Yes, I assume you watched your Atlanta United lose a 7-goal thriller against LAFC.
No, I think I was watching the Braves, to be totally honest. I'll level with you. I don't think I was.
I do know it.
After they won the title last year, I'm pleased, okay?
Yeah, I do know it has not been such a great year for Atlanta United.
It's been a bit boring.
Yeah, I understand it has not been very fun to watch. But there are still interesting things going on in MLS, as far as I know.
It's an interesting player list for the game.
Ironically, I follow USL more than I follow MLS.
Right. Well, your local team is there, so that makes a lot more sense.
And they've only gone on to win 11 straight games.
Yeah. You know, maybe if there was a system, you know, for them to maybe one day get into MLS, that might make sense.
Whatever are you saying, Rob? What could you possibly be saying?
How dare you?
Yeah, so what's this roster look like? This MLS All-Star roster?
Well, I think the most obvious attraction is going to be Zlatan, who people either love him or you hate him.
I love him.
Yeah.
absolutely love him, always will. Joseph Martinez, of course, one of your favorites from Atlanta.
Yep, absolutely. Broke the single season scoring record. Of course, Carlos Vela of LAFC is kind of on his tail for that record this season. Former Arsenal, not so legend. Bastian Schweinsteiger is there too, so is Wayne Rooney. I mean, there are players that people have heard of. They're just old.
Oh, yeah. This is, I wouldn't say a loaded roster per se. If you go back a few years, this is a loaded roster.
Right. I mean, there's star power. It's just older star power.
Yeah, and you look and going, Nick Romando is one of the three goalkeepers in this match, and Romando is probably the best goalkeeper ever to play in MLS. It pretty much owns, he's
40 years old.
Pretty much owns every single goalkeeping record there is. Yeah, Bastian Schweinsteiger is here. Diego Rossi is here. Nani is
not
here.
The corpse of Nani is there.
Yep, Nicolas Soldero, Pedro Martinez. I mean, these are good players. MLS has some very interesting things going on. It's try not to look so much off the field as look on the field. There are some really talented players and good teams here. The league's standing has been boosted in recent years. A lot of its teams have gone deeper into the CONCACAF Champions League, which isn't so much the end-all be-all as the UEFA Champions League is, but MLS's reputation has improved. There are still a lot of things it needs to sort out, like its expansion and its promotion relegation rules and so on. But this will be a pretty fascinating matchup here.
Yeah, I think so. And, I mean, you see a lot of teams kind of shifting the perspective. I mean, in the early days and even through now, the goal has been to sign guys that are looking for their last paycheck, basically. But now you sort of see more of a pipeline coming from South American clubs, right. Younger guys, with mainly, I would say, LAFC and Atlanta United, but there are other clubs that are doing this as well. Minnesota does it. But trying to pinch these guys from South America that are still young and still have stuff to prove is, I would say, more interesting and kind of makes the league more competitive. I mean, we saw last season Miguel Almiron went to Newcastle for what at that time was their club record fee, which only helps to boost MLS's reputation.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's exactly right. That pipeline is important. I mean, a lot of the bigger leagues around Europe and around the world have that kind of pipeline where they can bring in younger talent and develop them and then sell them on. This appears to be MLS's.
Yeah, it seems that way. And it's a more financially viable model because you're not really getting any money for Zlatan.
Right.
Once he moves on.
Right, you're not selling Zlatan or Wayne Rooney for massive fees anymore.
No, correct. So, it'll be an interesting match. I mean, it is a friendly, and they're playing against a group of people that don't usually play with each other. So, I think in that respect, it could be a little wonky.
It's going to be very wonky. I'm excited.
It should be fine. The European team almost always wins.
Didn't Bayern lose a few years ago, though?
I think they did.
They did, yeah. They did. I think it was Pep's second Bayern team. They lost to one of the MLS All-Star teams. I remember that game.
That was a bit odd. But yes, they lost in 2014.
That's right. It was, yeah, his second Bayern team.
Yes, so that wasn't a good look.
And there's a whole skills competition going on before this, too. That's a very North American thing to have go on.
Yes. Oh, and the All-Stars beat Tottenham the year after that. That happened.
Yeah, this skills challenge. João Félix, Hector Herrera, and I think Koke is the other one. I think those three.
Really? They're going to be doing it all? Okay.
Yeah, they're doing it. Yeah.
I mean, like you say, that is super American that they're doing that.
It's like NBA All-Star Weekend or like the Home Run Derby in baseball.
Right. I mean, I don't really know what that's going to look like, but okay, I'll watch.
I don't know either. I think there are like three different events. There's like a shooting drill and a passing drill. I think that's a reductive way to say it, but I think there are shooting and passing drills.
Okay, no, I mean that helps me to understand what it is. I mean, that's kind of like the whatever they do at the NHL All-Star Game. They do some kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, they have the most events.
Yeah, the like skills stuff, but. You know, I don't know what that's going to look like or if it'll really even be good TV, but I guess we'll find out.
So that's happening Wednesday. That is 5 p.m. my time, which I think is 2 a.m. Madrid time.
maybe don't stay up for that one.
I mean, unless you really want to.
Yeah, if you want to, I guess. You can probably watch the highlights the next day, though.
And after this, Atletico have two further friendlies before La Liga kicks off. They play their Mexican feeder team, Atletico San Luis, and then they go to Stockholm to face Juventus on August 10th.
Yeah, it's winded down.
Yeah,
thank goodness we get real football back soon.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
Praise be.
All right, Rob, you got anything else?
I think that's all.
Oh, that is plenty. And that'll do it for us on this edition of Colts Narrow Chat. I'd like to thank my guest, Rob Walker, for joining me. Thank you, Rob.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
You can follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. You can follow me, your host, Jeremy Barron, on Twitter at jbbarron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. You can also like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this podcast if you so want to. You can do that on various podcasting platforms, including Apple Podcasts. And check out the Patreon page, patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat. You can become a Colt Gennaro Chat amigo from as little as $3 a month, get access to bonus pods, get your questions answered on the show, and a lot more. patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat. We will be back next week. Until then, adios.